This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to brand new Geekscape. I'm going to get right to it. We've got filmmaker Joe Dante on the show. He's got a pretty busy weekend ahead of him. He's hosting Scream Factories. How would you describe this, Joe, this Scream Factory event you got coming this Saturday?
Well, it's not something I've done before. It's sort of unprecedented. The Shout Factory and Scream Factory, which it's all one company. People are friends of mine, and they've put out some of the movies that I've made on their label, and they've done a lot of restoring and a lot of upgrading, and they've done a great job with my particular stuff. And also, they've got a very interesting, if eclectic, library of material. And they came to me and said, "Well, what do you think about hosting a sort of a weekend of Shout Factory Selects?" Or Scream Factory Selects, depending on. I did it under both rubrics, and I think I've got intros to say both. But and I said, sure. And then and they gave me a list, so I couldn't just use any movie that ever was made. I had to go from their list. I picked a couple of pictures. Obviously, they're not a lot of brand new ones, because they're movies that I that meant something to me as I was going through my teen years and my college years and seeing these things when they were new. But I did try to find things that maybe the titles are familiar to people, but they probably never actually took the time to sit down and actually watch some of these movies. And I thought that since there's so many things available for people to see these days, that it helps to curate in a sense that you can point people to sort of, part the clouds of availability and say, here's some things that you could just sort of look at, and because they are all available in one package. I'm hoping people will see some things that they had either meant to see or maybe never heard of before.
And the majority of them are from the 50s and 60s. Geekscape, is there something you've heard of, like the original House on the Haunted Hill? Attack of the Crab Monsters, I think, is famous just because the monsters are so hilarious. Super famous. Yeah, we've all heard of the Attack of the Crab Monsters. What's that? And it may be why, like, the VHS era was kind of like the matinee era back in the day. And you were like, oh, you know what, with a title like that or a poster like that, I just got to watch whatever the heck this is. And you've curated a pretty good list here. And Geekscapists, you can be a part of it. If you want to learn more about it, go to ScreamFactoryTV.com, and they've got the list there, as well as instructions on what streaming platforms where you can catch this thing. We trust Shout Factory simply because they put out some amazing editions of not just your work, but a lot of stuff that's just gone out of print needs to be celebrated. And they're incredible curators. And so don't just trust Joe. Trust Shout Factory. Joe, do you kind of feel, in a sense, this Saturday, like you're Lawrence Woosley from your film Matinee, John Goodman's character, like, hey, kids, let me take you under my wing. Let me show you some of the amazing stuff that influenced me as a filmmaker.
Well, it's always fun alerting people to stuff that you like yourself and that you maybe think has been sort of forgotten along the way or not paid attention to. This was a chance for me to showcase some things that I thought people might like.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about the film Matinee, our own Matt Kelly, who hosts our Horror Movie Night podcast, he considers it like a film that didn't get its due, a Matinee with John Goodman. It's just a beautiful film. Well, that really is a celebration.
It's not a particularly commercial film. And mm-hmm. I was actually lucky to get it made at all because there were some problems funding it and stuff, and Universal was going to distribute it after we had made it, but then the funding ran out and Universal stepped up and said, okay, we'll just take over and it'll be a Universal picture, which was great, which I'm eternally grateful for. But it was really at the time more of a Miramax kind of movie. It was the kind of movie that you open in a small couple of theaters and try to get some attention and then you go wide. But they just opened it wide, like in, I think in February or something in 93. And it, you know, it played to basically empty houses, but it was fun seeing parents bring their kids to see a movie about what the movies were like when they were kids and when they went to the movies. It's single screen theaters, which are almost non-existent now, and it was sort of a bonding experience. And it is a nice movie. It's about movies. It's gained a lot of attention over the years from film buffs and stuff. But it's a movie I was happy I got to make, and I'm happy that it's as famous as it is, which isn't very.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I think you made the best Christmas movie of all time. Gremlins is the first film of yours that I saw in the theaters. My father.
Die Hard.
You know what? I hear that Die Hard argument, and I just feel like those people forget that It's a Wonderful Life and Gremlins exists, and Gremlins takes the cake as far as I'm concerned. That Gremlins is not only an incredible monster movie and horror film, but it's kind of a fun family film, and I think it's the best Christmas movie. Absolutely. The Die Hard thing never held water with me. You know, you made the best Christmas movie of all time. We love Gremlins here at Geekscape, and we can't wait for the Secrets of the Mogwai animated on HBO Max that you were part of.
I think you're going to like it. It was supposed to come out this fall, but there's a lot of turmoil over at Warner Brothers, which is now Warner Brothers Discovery. And there's a lot of cancellations and things being taken off the shelves and all that kind of stuff. But our show it's already got one season in the can, and they're working on the second season. And I don't think that they're going to do what they did with Batgirl and just say, well, let's just write the whole thing off and forget about it, because it is a good show, and I think it's going to be popular when it finally appears, which will, I think, be early next year.
And when you think about, obviously Gremlins is the big one that brought you a lot of fans, but when you think of Gremlins too, I heard your Marc Maron interview, and I think the session you did with Marc Maron is phenomenal, because it really talks about the politics of Gremlins too, where you finally said, hey, all right, I'll make the thing, but I'm going to make it reluctantly, and you're going to know I'm going to make it reluctantly. Was that fun for you to do, or like, what did that?
It was a blast. I mean, how many times does somebody come to you and say, we'll let you do whatever you want, plus we'll give you twice the money we gave you for the other picture, you know? And it was only after they had a whole litany of failures of trying to hire people to write a sequel to a movie they didn't understand in the first place. And so when they finally came back to Mike Fennell and I, the producer, they admitted, you guys must have had something to do with the success of the first picture, and so we're going to trust you. And now there's a word you don't hear very often in the movie business, trust.
Well, but that's something that surrounds you. And my friend Jim Paganelli calls it the Joe Dante repertory players. You know, people that you've trusted and the people that you've been faithful to in your incredible casting, and people like Dick Miller, obviously, Robert Picardo, Kevin McCarthy, Kathleen Freeman. Well, but
you find if you look at the filmographies of most directors, if you find the same actors appearing over and over. John Ford had a bunch of people who always, you know, show up in varying combinations, and so did Ingmar Bergman. I mean, it's you find people that you are copacetic with, and whose work you like watching, and you think, well, this is an opportunity to get more opportunity to work, get to watch them work. And so I've been very lucky with the cast. Unfortunately, they don't live forever, so some of them have passed away. But it just makes it a joy to go to work every morning when you're with your friends.
Obviously you saw the Dick Miller documentary, and that's great. I think it's incredible that they celebrated the work. And one thing that you were involved in that I didn't know you were involved in until I started this research, but was actually a reference I've actually made a lot in the last month as I do my own writing, is a film, is a show that I think may have been too early. We're talking about Erie, Indiana.
Well, it was definitely too early because it was Junior X-Files before there was X-Files.
And I loved it.
It was a wonderful show. The people who watched it loved it. There weren't enough of them, and also they weren't on the Nielsen radar because a lot of them were kids. And it was up again. It was up against 60 Minutes, which is not a good idea. And the lead-in was terrible. And they managed to squeeze out like a season and a half worth of it, and then they basically put it out to pasture. Then a couple of years later, they started rerunning it on Fox on Saturday mornings. And all of a sudden, there was this renewed interest. Oh, what is this show? This is great. And we want to see more of them. And there were only the 18 that we had made. And they said, well, we need more of these. But well, we can't hire the same kids because they're too old now. And we don't hire those people who made the show because we have to pay them. So we'll do our own version. So they went to Canada. They built a set that was a replica of the set that we had had. And they made Erie, Indiana, The Other Dimension. And they used some footage from the original show to have our kids turn into their kids so that they could essentially make another season of the show with rock bottom prices. I mean, they're just the cheapest. It's everything about it says Canadian, you know, and it's completely forgotten today. But the original Erie is, you can get it on Amazon, and I've given it away to people for, you know, Christmas presents, birthday presents for their kids and stuff, and kids always love it because it's sort of timeless. It's not necessarily dated. I mean, it's a little like Gremlins. It looks like a backlot world, and the shows are, while they're uneven like all TV series shows are, there's some really good episodes, and it's such a fun show.
Yeah, the kids who were kept the same age in Tupperware containers, they would sleep in the Tupperware containers. That never left me.
That was the pilot.
It was awesome. It was awesome. You have this family moving into a new neighborhood, and the mom gets invited over for a Mary Kay party where they all are sharing Tupperware, and he realizes in the photographs that the kids have been the same age for decades, and it's because they sleep in these, they're perfectly preserved in these Tupperware, giant Tupperware beds, and they're sleeping in them like pod people. It's incredible. I'm guessing the Canadian one wasn't successful. Is the secret that Warner Brothers learned, the same that this company learned, that maybe the secret sauce is this man I'm talking to right here, Joe Dante? Can we have a Gremlins that doesn't involve Joe Dante? Because obviously, we're going to have a little bit of Joe Dante in The Secrets of the Mogwai. Is some of that fun, some of that celebration of cinema, stuff that we're going to see?
It's all fun. Listen, when you do something that people like, it's very rewarding. You know, and when you do something you like and people don't like, that's not so rewarding. That's more disappointing. But in a lot of cases, that some of the things that I've done that weren't particularly appreciated at the time have sort of aged like fine wine. And are now popular. I mean, movies that came out and literally made no money, like Interspace, are now considered, must have been a big hit because everyone loves it. No, it wasn't. It was a complete flop. And yet it's now very well thought of. And people assume that it must have been a hit because we all like it. And that's true of not just me, but, you know, many of my contemporaries had movies that were, you know, The Thing. It was a movie that was a total disaster, John Carpenter's version. And now, of course, it's venerated. But at the time, it was vilified and didn't make enough money. So looking to the past for validation via box office is not really very, very useful.
No, you were working on The Twilight Zone with George Miller, and he has a phenomenal movie out right now in 3,000 Years of Longing.
It was one of the best movies of the year, and I encourage everyone to go see it, and go see it quick, because I don't think it's going to be in theaters for very long.
No, it's beautiful. It's an incredible movie. It's one of the best of the year, as you said, and I feel like it's just going to go, and we're going to look up in 5-10 years and say, "What? Oh, I wish I could have seen that on screen." I'm actually glad.
It's a great movie to see on a screen, but I think it's suffered a little bit from the success of Fury Road, because Fury Road is such a phenomenal action film that when people, "Oh, he's got another movie," and then there's no vehicles in it.
Yeah.
What kind of movie is this?
It's a beautiful film with tons of tone, and it's like a collect. I don't want to tell you, Geekscape, just go see it. But I like that they take risks. I like that George takes risks. I like that you're of the generation that takes risks and isn't in the assembly line for the superhero movies. Which,
well, there is an assembly line, but I think, and you have my friend Sam Raimi is in the superhero world now. But he didn't start out that way. I mean, he started out with the same kind of quirky material that George and I did. You know, I mean, Evil, it's hard to believe that the guy who made Evil Dead 2 is the same guy who made the last Doctor Strange movie. They're just not, they don't look like they're from the same filmmaker. And I think that's because when you work on a mega budget for a giant corporation, it becomes very difficult to personalize the movie, because that's not the business that they're in.
Yeah, but it's the business you're in,
yeah,
as a storyteller.
Work.
Well, Joe, I still love that your voice is out there, and Geekscape is, we got to take Joe's voice anytime we can get it, whether it's on the big screen or on the small screen, as we're going to get this weekend with Scream Factory's celebration of all these curated movies from Joe. The schedule is up at ScreamFactoryTV.com, as well as where you can watch it. So I invite you all to do it. Really, thank you so much for squeezing in here. And
I'm happy
having
to
this
it.
Conversation
I'm happy to bring
with me.
Shed a little light on some of these movies that maybe people have heard about but haven't really actually sat down to watch.
Well, Joe, you're welcome back anytime here on Geekscape.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Geekscape is, how cool was that? My conversation with Joe Dante. It was a quick one, but a good one. I really just wanted to learn more about Erie, Indiana. If you haven't checked that out, you got to go find it on Amazon. All right, Geekscapists, we're going to be back next week with a sit-down with Neil LaBute. He's got a brand new horror movie out called House of Darkness. It's awesome. We had a great conversation. So if you're not a regular Geekscapist, you probably should subscribe. If you enjoyed this conversation with Joe, go ahead and hit that share button. Share us with your friends. It really helps us out. Also, to leave us a nice 5-star review on any of your podcatchers, wherever you're listening to this from. And until next time, don't hate, create.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.